Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm going to mute.
I understand. You're the first, Aldo. We have 5 more minutes till somebody else comes. Three more minutes.
Randall.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please join in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chimin Ha Tati Seruva Albert Gimel Yitla Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbenu Baharenu No Ra Ufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehud Ha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Tacharem Rakame Sitkatha Tamid Gamblem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Bet Kuf Betet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamet Pei Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yudta. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoa we say in a whisper. Because we really need to have two classes today. One for Yom Kippur, which obviously starts tonight and is Monday. And one for Sukkot, which will be for next week, which will begin on Shabbat. So due to that, I'm not going to do our normal pattern, other than we just did the Anabakoa, and I will also be doing a L'shem Yehud when we start. Our handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 7, the second column from the left. And that will be opening up for the advanced class of Teshuvah. When that opens up, please scroll down to the preparation for the Tishrei holidays. And it's class 6C. It has to do with the phrase in the Nila, Hashem Hu HaElohim. We will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Utchilu Utchilu Urchimu V'yakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu karenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu karenehu. This part of the Yom Kippur Nila prayer, or meal, is quite intriguing to me. If one reads the English translation, it just has to lead to questions. And yet I have never heard of anyone asking these kinds of questions. The phrase is, Yudke Vavke, U Fa Elohim, which translates as God is God. What question would you ask to that statement? The following is an essay by Rabbi Bar Sadak of KosherTorah.com. It's titled, The Secret Power Within Hashem, Hu HaElohim. One of the great proclamations made at the conclusion of the Yom Kippur prayers are the words, Hashem, Hu HaElohim. Hashem, He is God. At the surface level, this seems merely to be a religious, cultural proclamation that Hashem, the God of Israel, is the only true God, thus implying the falsehoods of all the other world religions and their gods. Yet Hebrew proclamations are built upon prophetic Kabbalistic design. Nothing about them is so ethnic, simplistic, and one-dimensional. The simple statement, Hashem Hu HaElohim, is not simple at all, and it is not mentioned in relationship to other religions or their gods. This statement is indeed the foundation of Torah, but so very few actually understand its meaning. Even fewer know how to transform a spoken statement into a vibrant force that can actually influence and change physical matter at its most fundamental levels. Speech is sound. Sounds can vibrate matter at the molecular level. Thoughts are things. They are actual waves of energy. When thoughts can be focused, similar to the focusing of a light, then concentrated thought can become like a laser beam, with the power to cut and penetrate almost everything. When concentrated thought is channeled through the proper vibrations of sound, powerful results are achieved, results that have very material, physical manifestations. The real name of Hashem, commonly referred to as God, as we know, is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. However, we do not pronounce this name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Instead, we pronounce the name Adonai. This is not because of myth that we have forgotten how to pronounce the name, or that the name is too holy to pronounce. We have never forgotten how it is pronounced. And there are still those who properly pronounce it regularly in the course of their secret works. These are the Baalei Shem Tov, the masters of the good name. The reason why the name changed was because of the shift in the collective consciousness of the Israelite nation. We descended from being a people in their land, with prophecy and temple, down into being a people in exile, without divine direction, national unity, and focus. The shift in consciousness caused there to be a shift in names. According to the Torah and the Kabbalah, a name is not just a word. It is an actual living entity. The name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is not just a word or name. It is a power sound, an actual conduit of living energy. When the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is pronounced in a precise manner and chanted according to the ancient prophetic traditions, it can unleash tremendous forces that have powerful effects. Without prophecy, ark, and temple, the Israelite collective lost the proper forms through which the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei can be channeled. Today, while the masses no longer use the proper vessel of the letters Yud-Kei Vav-Kei to channel the name's full force, the concentrated energy that goes into it can still be tapped. The secret power in a name is not just in its spoken form, but more so in the concentrated mind thought that channels it into its recitation. The name Adonai was chosen to replace Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh to more appropriately reflect the nature of the shift in the collective consciousness of the Israelite nation. Adonai translates as Lord. However, it means so much more. The name Adonai has the same numerical value as the word Heichal. You've heard that word from the book of Hanoch. You've heard that word from many of the writings of the Kabbalah. It translates
has joined.
As a Heikal palace is a domain of residence. A residence contains its owner. It protects him from the outside and also conceals him from outsiders. The physical universe of ours operates according to the laws of nature, as ordained by Hashem in the beginning. The Hebrew name used in the creation story we know is Elohim. The numerical value of this name is equal to the value of the Hebrew name Ateva, which translates as nature. Thus, the natural universe of physical form is the creation of Elohim. The laws of nature are the expressions of Elohim. Elohim is the force and power underlying the physical universe. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as a Hebrew word can be seen to contain the root verb hoveh, to be. In its basic tense, a Hebrew verb is passive. However, when the prefix letter yud is added to a passive verb base, it transforms the verb from the passive tense into the active tense. Thus, the verb hoveh, hey-vav-hey, with a yud in front of it, yud-hey-vav-hey, is the holy name of Hashem, could be translated to mean active being, or a being in action, or simply active existence. This name was not used to describe the physical creation, and is only introduced later in the Torah with the manifestation of the higher, the Yetzirotic spiritual reality. We thus have two parallel dimensional planes, one physical, in Kabbalah it's called Asiya, action, operating under known natural laws, and another in Kabbalah called Yetzirah. It's not physical, but it is no less operating under less known and entirely different conditions. Yet it is a natural pattern of its own nature, its own laws. The two universes operate parallel to one another and are supposed to operate and function in harmony with each other. The Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh universe of Yetzirah is the source and sustenance of the Elohim universe, Asiya. Our physical universe, Asiya, emanates out of the higher dimensional plane, Yetzirah, and is completely sustained by it. When the order of creation is in proper balance, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh universe flows naturally into the Elohim universe. In this relationship, the physical universe materializes abundance in all its forms, and everything is in blossom, harmony, balance, and peace. However, the flow of the upper universe into the lower universe can be hindered. Natural law dictates that channels can be either opened or closed, or partially restricted. At Sinai, an interdimensional vortex was opened, enabling Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei to materialize in this physical universe the form that could contain it and sustain it. This form is the Torah. The body of Torah is the mitzvot. When Israel correlates their collective mind to Torah, they properly channel Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei and enable its power and force to materialize in this physical plane, and thus into the name Elohim. This is the purpose of Halakha, the pathway for the Torah way, commonly but limitedly translated as Jewish law. The name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei was channeled originally through prophecy, through the Ark, and through the Temple, coupled with the pronunciations of the ancient Baalei Shem Tov, the masters of the good name, who were the biblical prophets and priests. When the nation's deviant behavior caused a collective shift in the national consciousness, the power of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei was severely curtailed. It could no longer be properly channeled into the Elohim physical universe. Thus, the vessels of channeling and reception were either destroyed or removed. We therefore lost prophecy, Ark, and Temple. We were left in a mental and correlating physical place, which we call exile. There can be no redemption from exile until such redemption is properly carried out. The inner channels must first be restored before the external channels can be restored. For even if the external forms of Ark and Temple were replaced, they would still be nothing but empty hollow shells. This was the situation regarding the Second Temple in Jerusalem. Without the internal shift of collective national consciousness back to the supernatural reality of the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, exile will continue, regardless of the external forms. Internal shifts in the collective national consciousness can be achieved through the focused and concerted effort of those in the nation who can steer the collective in the proper mental direction. Only they can align, realign, focus away from Elohim and the natural, and to restore it to Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei and the supernatural, thus enabling both to properly realign, unite, and flow harmoniously into one another. This is the true meaning of teshuvah, to return, commonly understood to be repentance, but that is a corrupted translation. It's returning. Now we can begin to understand the meaning of Hashem Hu HaElohim. This statement is no more mere recitation of words. Rather, it needs to be an actual focus of consciousness that helps realign parallel universes to being parallel universes. When we recite the words Hashem Hu HaElohim, the sounds themselves need to be joined with intense mental focus. In Hebrew, we call this kavanah, mental intent. When we recite the name Adonai, we must not focus on that name, but rather on the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Adonai is the dwelling place, the palace, the hekal of Yud-Hei-Vav-Hei. Yud-Hei-Vav-Hei is concealed within Adonai. Our mental focus is to make sure the two names are perfectly united and that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei energy is properly channeled through its vessel of Adonai. Thus, when reciting Adonai, we mentally visualize the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei and imagine its supernatural life, giving energy flowing into the name Adonai, enlivening it and enabling it to enliven our physical universe. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the inner conduit. Adonai is the outer conduit. The mental focus of Kavanah is what we call in Kabbalah the Yehud, Zavaya Adnot. Avaya is the word Hashem, is a term used to call the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Adnut is the term for the name Adonai. Yehud means union. The two names together thus form a relationship of light and vessel, of soul and body. Again, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the inner conduit. Adonai is the outer conduit. One is the source and strength of the other. One is the vessel and form of the other. One alone cannot be complete. A body without a soul is dead, and a soul without a body is a ghost. Therefore, when we pronounce Adonai, we contemplate Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Without this, there is no flow of energy, and thus no manifestation of the divine channel through the recitation of the name. Mind and speech must be joined together, for one without the other is dead. Havaya Adnut is the source of all life in the Elohim, in the world of Asiya, in the physical universe. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is the pure source that when it flows into the universe directly, without dilution in Adonai, it brings within it an abundance that can transform the very subatomic structure of all physical matter in the universe. In our present fallen state of exile, we cannot ascend to the proper level to channel this flow undiluted. We channel it the best we can through the name Adonai. It is not perfect, but it is the best that we can do at present. And without this, all the world would cease to exist in the physical universe. Havaya Adnut needs to flow in order for there to be life. And to where does it flow? It flows into the substructures of this physical universe, into the very presence of the Creator underlying our physical reality. This is the force of natural law, represented by the name Elohim. By channeling Havaya Adnut into Elohim, we are essentially sustaining all physical existence. The indwelling presence of Elohim in every subatomic reality that defines for it its natural laws is called in Hebrew the Shekhinah, the indwelling divine presence. When we verbally proclaim Hashem Hu HaElohim, we are doing much more than making a statement of faith. In our mental focus, we are actually moving very subtle energy forces that themselves nurture life. Our statement is an actual act of providing nourishment for our physical, for the Asiya universe. We are focusing on the energetic reality of Hashem, of the supernatural source universe, Yetzirah, and channeling its sustaining flow, Adonai, into a proper conduit of materialization, Havaya Adnut, and from the conduit out into the receptacle, from Asiya, Elohim, to the Shekhinah, to nature. While the words Hashem Hu HaElohim themselves are meaningful at the simple level, it is the properly placed mental focus on their real intent that unleashes real raw power that will have so many positive effects. Now that we have discussed the names Hashem, Adonai, and Elohim, let me turn momentarily to the additional letters that form the statement. Hashem Hu HaElohim. The Hebrew word Hu, He is spelled He Vav Aleph. The name Elohim is introduced with a prefix, the letter He. However, due to the nature of English grammar and syntax, we do not translate it. It would sound awkward to say, Hashem, He is the God. So the He, which is the, is usually left untranslated. However, in Hebrew grammar, the insertion of this preposition is entirely accurate and proper. The Hebrew letters that spell Hu Ha reside in between the two names, Yud Ke Vav Ke and Elohim. These letters, He Vav Aleph He, numerically add up to the value of 17. This is the numerical value of the word Tov, good. It is no coincidence that this is found here. Yud Ke Vav Ke, so Adonai, channels the energetic flow of the higher universe, Yetzirah, into the lower one, Asiya. As I said above, this flow is the source and sustenance of all life in the physical world. This energy is not symbolic or mental in nature. It is real. Life force, life-giving radiance. It is Shefa. In Hebrew, we call it Nefesh. In the Orient, it is called a more popular, more recognizable name, Ki, or Chi. This is the Tov, the good that we channel. The recitation of Hashem Hu HaElohim is not limited to Yom Kippur. In our regular daily morning prayers, it is also recited in a very precisely placed section. When reciting the words, one should bear in mind that through the power of one's focus and concentration, one can actually transcend dimensional boundaries, tap into higher energy sources, and through the combined power of thought and sound, actually serve as a conduit of life force, energy from one universe to another. And this is precisely how we serve Hashem, and in religious terms, proclaim Hashem to be God. Proclaiming Hashem to be God has lost much of its meaning over many centuries. In ancient times, when the competition between mutually exclusive religious systems was vicious, proclaiming the religion of Torah over the other religions and other gods was a vital thing. Today, the majority of the world believes in a supreme being of one sort or another. To proclaim this is not controversial. To proclaim that there is one God over all is acceptable to most today, whereas one time it was not. To proclaim that Hashem is the God of Israel, and Israel alone, excluding all others, is not the message of Torah, and never was. Israel's message is that God is the God over all, without distinction or separation. Therefore, the message of Hashem, Hu HaElohim, is a universal one that can be embraced by all of humanity. We need to know, to learn to see beyond the limited focus of physical eyes and recognize the soul within the body. This is true of how we must interact with one another, and this is equally true of how we interact with heaven. Religious mythologies of separation must be delegated to the bookshelf of the children's stories where they belong. Instead, we must focus on true and actual spiritual accomplishment and not just on philosophical religious rituals that look good on the surface but are actually empty inside. Only we can make the difference when we say, Hashem Hu HaElohim. Now we will spend 4 days preparing for Sukkot. Another nice metaphor that comes from our Kabbalistic tradition is that the nation is so busy during the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot that they have not time to sin. We have been doing actual spiritual actions that cleansed us in these last 10 days of awe, climaxing in the cleansing of Yom Kippur. This has allowed us to reach the level of a tzaddik. Now, as we go into Sukkot in 5 days, it is important to keep up these spiritual actions so that we do not fall from this level of righteousness. I hope you choose to stay righteous. Remember this spiritual truth. If you try, Hashem will help. If you want to stay righteous, try to remain righteous, and Hashem will help you to remain righteous. But even if you fall, Hashem will help you to raise yourself back to this level. Are there any questions? If you return back to the advanced tshuva question, the page, and instead of picking 6C, you pick 6D. You will find the three holidays of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, and Simchat Torah. That is what we will continue to read, although just to Sukkot, I believe. After the breakfast, it is recommended to do one action that commences the building of the Sukkah. Prior to Yom Kippur, the halakha suggests we not do any actions related to Sukkot. So as soon as it's late, your breakfast is over, make your way to the Sukkah and touch the material that's going to be built into the Sukkah. Concentrate on your thoughts of the meaning of the Sukkah. There are 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. The Ari says during these days, the energy of Chesed comes into the universe. These are not holidays in the traditional sense. Day 11 is the Keter of Chesed. This year it is the evening of September 28th. Day 12 is Bina of Chesed. Day 13 is Zeranpin of Chesed. Day 14 is Malchut of Chesed. The holiday of Sukkot is about generating the energy of Chesed for your whole year. It represents the right column of the tree of life. Included in Chesed is the energy of certainty. When one builds a hut and moves to dwell in that hut for a period of 7 days, one is demonstrating and increasing his level of certainty within the Creator. The sukkah itself is an antenna for the energy of Chesed. The four species are also antenna for a different level of Chesed. The sukkah represents surrounding light, while the four species represents internal light or energy. The hakafot represent manifesting the surrounding light into the inner light for the whole year. This is also the holiday that creates the possibility to eliminate anti-Semitism for the year. This is done through the hearing of the daily Torah reading, dealing with the 70 bulls that are sacrificed during the week of Sukkot. There is a unique ritual called Baal HaTeshueva, the pouring of the water. In temple times, this was done each day, taking a water barrel to the river to retrieve water to wash the altar. It is done today only one day during the holiday of Sukkot, usually on the Netzach of Chesed. The Talmud describes this as not knowing joy until you experience this ritual. Here is an email that I have sent previously to help us explain this ritual. This year, the Shabbat, a week from yesterday, that Shabbat is the beginning. So you would find Netzah to be Wednesday. The reading of the Shabbat has the final verse, "Do not cook a calf in its mother's milk." This is the essence of the laws of kashrut. Most people are never informed that these regulations help us maintain balance in our lives by not eating things that have too much mixed energy. This is explained by the phrase dealing with milk, a food that has the energy of continuity, and cooking a slaughtered cow, which represents the energy of death or end. When this is done, people with Jewish souls find it difficult to balance these two energies. We also get this message when we look at the 38 verses in the reading. The word lach, 38, means freshness, vigor, moisture, or virility. When we add the 6 verses of the Matir, we get 44, which is the Hebrew word for blood, dam. Do you see how these words are opposites? Finally, the 240 verses in Kohelet represent, based on the gematria, the word safek, which is doubt. It is also the gematria of the nation of Amalek. The 17 spaces represent gematria, the word tov, which means good. Again, the balancing of the two kinds of energy. Doubt can never be good, which is why Hashem is at war with Amalek throughout the generations. Finally, an amazing revelation. There are two large letters in Kohelet, a tet in chapter 7, verse 1, and the Samach in chapter 12, verse 13. This is the word tos, spelled Tet Vav Samach, and it means to speed or to fly. In reverse, spelled Samach Vav Tet, Sot means to deviate. When the thought of an acronym, Tet means good and Samach means somek or support, we learn from these letters it is good to support others. Now let's look at the Haftorah. There are 22 verses that relate to the 22 Hebrew letters. The three spaces represent the three columns from the Tree of Life. I have discussed this before, but to make it easy for those with bad memories, the three columns are right, which means sharing, left, which represents receiving, and the second column, which balances the two, the aspects of sharing and receiving. When we have the 22 letters in the format of the three columns, we have the Tree of Life. To truly understand Sukkot and Shabbat, we need to understand about the 70 sacrifices, which are read by the daily readings of the Torah read during Sukkot. There are three rituals associated with Sukkot. One is the sukkah, which represents and actually is the antenna to draw the energy of chesed, of mercy or loving kindness, of the energy store called Bina. We make much use of the energy store, Bina, on Yom Kippur when we create the year of our desires. Two, the shaking of the four species, the Arba Minim, which represents the drawing of the energy of chesed of Zerantin. And three, the hakafot, or circles that we do each day, and multiple circles on Hoshana Rabbah. These circles are antenna for the energy of chesed of Malchut. During the 7 days, we will do 13 circles. We can see now how these rituals unite the three levels of Bina, Zerantin and Malchut. When we unite three, they become one. This is really the secret of Jacob marrying both Leah and Rachel. These two sisters are chariots, channels for Bina and Malchut, while Jacob represents Zerantin. This is why the 12 tribes of the children of Israel came out of these three chariots, which are really one Jewish nation. On the first day of the reading of Sukkot, the Mahtir has 13 bulls that are sacrificed. On the second day, there are 12 bulls. On the third day, 11, all the way down to 7. And when you add up 13 plus 12, etc., you total 70. These sacrifices are sharing the energy with the 70 nations. Let me explain this further. When the Jewish nation is doing its spiritual work and sharing from these sacrifices with the 70 other nations, these nations do not feel any lack in the area that relates to the relationship with the Jewish nation. Each nation has a unique relationship with the Jewish nation. That unique relationship is different for each nation, and it feels the lack in a different way. Each year there are 7 days of Sukkot. When we do these sacrifices correctly, on a given day, these nations connected to the sacrifice for that day. When we do it incorrectly, these nations feel a lack. And that lack will manifest during the year as anti-Semitism. It's up to you to stop anti-Semitism by sharing the appropriate nation energy each and every day. As you shake the lulav, as you listen to the Torah reading, as you do the hakafot. This is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? I'm wishing you all a wonderful holiday of Yom Kippur, and we will discuss the holiday of Sukkot during the week and next week as well. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Have a good
holiday. Ad Sameach to everyone.
Ad Sameach.